Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Sunday, bloody Sunday. So we pick up the pieces. The Pittsburgh Steelers get punched in the mouth, and now they've got questions as far as their future is concerned. 48-37, Big Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 68 times. 68 times, man. Like, you know, you look, I swear to God, you show me a 300, a 400-yard passer and a 500-yard passer, and I'm going to show you, yeah, he was on a losing team, wasn't he? Look at Baker Mayfield, 21-34, 263 yards and 3 touchdown passes. All right, that's solid. That's normal. Big Ben Roethlisberger, 47-68, 501, 501 yards. We hit an in-game prop over 481 passing yards. 4 touchdown passes, but 4 interceptions. Like, so you bring Ben Roethlisberger back another year, fine. You have to. I think you owe it to him. Let him go out on his own here like this. He can't be playing for another couple of years, I wouldn't imagine. He's always one hit away, one big injury away from being done. But you've got to run the football. Is this your identity, throwing the football a million times? No. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to run the football, and it's pretty clear you can't do it. You can't do it with James Conner, and you can't do it with Blake Snell. They're Benny Snell. They're not good enough. I was going to say Blake Snell. Blake Snell could probably get 2 carries for 13 yards, too. 11 and 37 for Connor, 11 attempts, 37 yards. Now, it's not just, I'm not just blaming the running backs. Like, they don't commit to the run. Is it the offensive line? Are they bad run, blockers? Whatever it is, figure it the hell out. And let's just call it off. Really, you're going to come back with Snell and Connor again? You need yourself, get yourself a stud running back. Get yourself a stud running back if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, and one thing that we should note about Pittsburgh is they were besieged with defensive injuries, all right? So the Pittsburgh Steelers are a good football team, but they can't, they got to start running the ball. It's been a problem all year for them. And, I think this is all you need to know. This is like the evidence, the case is closed, and they're guilty. It is what it is. It's like, dude, you threw the ball 68 times and you guys, for 501 yards, you lost the game by double digits. You rushed for 50 yards. You threw 4 interceptions. I mean, come on. It's not working. This style of football, that's just not working for you. The Late Night Anger Management Class is working for you. 6 nights a week, Ian Cameron Babano steps up in it a little bit later on. Bring it.
We do this 24 hours a day, every day.
It's real.
And it's here. We've got to come up with a better name for it than fantasy sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
There are 24 hours in every day.
1,440 minutes.
86,400 seconds. And we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah, really? I still feel tingly.
Countdown to kickoff is on. National Championship game on Monday. We promised we'd rattle off some of the props for you right now. It's always cool. Championship game, college football props. Listen, FanDuel's got college football props up for, you know, certain big-time games during the regular season. It's one of these deals, though, where it's not available in every state. You know, and so it's like, you know what I mean? It's bizarre, right? Like a state will allow sports betting, but they might, you know, they always have these little rules and stuff as well. They'll say, yeah, we don't want you doing this, though, or we don't like that, or, you know what I mean? So, you know, I know there's certain states that you can't bet on the college player props and some of them that you can. And I know this because Holden, I know that in Colorado, pretty strange, in the state of Colorado, magic mushrooms are legal, but the sports book can't put up college player props. It's like, all right, but I can smoke weed and I can take mushrooms, but I can't, like, play the Mac Jones over under 365 and a half passing yards. So that's what that is, 365 and a half passing yards for Mac Jones. We're talking about some of the props, talking about the touchdown scores earlier, that, you know, you got to lay such a big number for these guys in this game to score a touchdown. But for the game's first touchdown, I think there's some value. Tune into Game Time Decisions at 6 o'clock Eastern with me and the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Sirius XM, Channel 204, will be breaking it all down. So Alabama, laying 8.5 in the game. The total is 74 and a half. Justin Fields, 290 and a half passing yards. 290 and a half passing yards is his prop. Matt Jones, 365 and a half. 365 and a half. So both of them are very high, but, you know, we're expecting this game to be quite the track meet and shootout. Even though title games have a tendency not to be as high scoring, we went over the numbers before. Out of the six previous college football championships in this college playoff format, it's hard to believe it's, you know, seventh one. And the six of them before, there was, in the six of them before, only one of them would have gone over this number, a 74 and a half. And I remember actually, Holden, when this number came out, because we were on live during the Ohio State Clemson game, when this number came out, it was 77. And he thought it was high. And he said, I'm gonna jump in right away as soon as I can. And I said, you know what? It's probably going to go down. You're right. It'll probably go down to about 74, 75 or so. And it has. It's settling in right now at 74 and a half, which to me, I'm going to go over the number. I think it's a fair, if it was 77 and a half or like 80 or something, I'd be scared off. Dude, 75 points. Come on. 45-30. Would it shock you if Alabama won this game? 45-30? Wouldn't shock me. No, it wouldn't shock me at all. And listen, I think, like I said, I like Ohio State in this game, but plus the points. But I'm just telling you, you know, you add up like the reasonable amount of points. I mean, come on. You don't think it's a possibility that it's like 35-35 at some point in this game? You know, in that range, like it's not 84 and a half, it's 74 and a half. So I think it's playable. I think it's playable. We talked about the game's first touchdown score. I think Trey Sermon's worth a look here at plus 650. Chris Olave is a 10-1 Ohio State wide receiver. Master Teague, 14-1. Garrett Wilson, 13-1. They got a good tight end there, too. Justin Fields, to score the game's first touchdown, is 14-1. As far as Alabama is concerned, Najee Harris is plus 310. He's actually the favorite to score the game's first touchdown. Not a bad price, though, at plus 310. Devontae Smith is plus 430. Waddle is plus 850. Man, are they deep. Waddle is plus 850. Mac Jones to score the game's first touchdown. 37-1. So we're going to have a complete breakdown tomorrow, obviously, but I'm not I'm not like changing my mind. Like, I'm not going to, it's not like, oh, no, tomorrow I decide to lay the points. The only thing that I'm waiting on here, guys, is obviously anybody who's been paying attention to this knows we don't know about Ohio State. Like, I don't know. Like, are they going to drop this bomb tomorrow, this bombshell that, oh, yeah, by the way, we're without 17 kids? I mean, there was talk earlier about that not having enough players to field a team. So I don't know. You know what I mean? But it's strange. Yet the key players are all good. Right? Like, Trey Sermon's good. It seems, I don't know if they, what they did, but I don't know if they've sort of, like, they're really more protective of the star players. Because all their star players are fine. There's no COVID issues, right? Justin Fields' his injury, he'll be fine. They're going to shoot him up with stuff, and he'll play through it. He'll play well. And so, like I said, we'll have our final picks tomorrow night before kickoff as on Game Time Decisions and on In Game Live. And me and Cam will do like the first hour of the game or so. And then I'll be back, of course, tomorrow night at midnight Eastern time on SiriusXM 204 with the post-game recap. Paul Bovey, George Kurtz. So when it was all said and done this weekend, we did well in the National Football League. I did very good with the Buffalo Bill game. They didn't cover, but I hit everything else. I hit in-game stuff. Like, I smashed it. I had the Bills teased to the over. I had Bills and Moneyline parlays. I stumbled, like, in-game with the Rams game. I fell for, like, some in-game unders when it was low scoring early. I was like, man, no one's going to score in this game. And then, boom, it just opened up. So then I was mad because I was like, man, I just gave my money back that I just won on Buffalo. This sucks. And now I got to bet on this Washington game. And I like Washington, but I've got to, you know, I got to show a lot of faith here. And I did. And I hit Washington. I hit some passing yard props in game. I ended up going 4-0 in the Washington game last night. Earlier today, and we went pretty hard last night. Shout out to Jazz. Shout out to Duke and everybody over at the Red Card. We went pretty hard last night. So this morning, you know, I wasn't online even. You know, I just sort of rolled out of bed, looked at my phone. I was like, ooh. Oh, man, game starting right now. I missed kickoff. I got to get these bets in. And I went 1-1, 1-1. And so it was basically, you know, 1-1, nothing happened. And then the Pittsburgh game, like I said, I got more dialed into. And I only went 2-0. I played the Cleveland Browns tease to the over. And then I played an in-game passing prop. Sometimes less is more. You know, so we had a profitable day. We had a profitable day yesterday, a profitable day today. Can't complain. Matthias, I know you're happy. Pittsburgh scored that late touchdown. What'd you have him, Mike? What, plus 12 and a half in game?
Yeah, I had him plus 12 and a half in game, and I was squeezing for a long time, but they pulled through when it mattered most.
Yeah, I was kicking myself for not grabbing them once when they were plus 16 and a half. I was like, you know, they're not going to stop, but, and even in game overs, I should have, you know, started hopping on that. Yet, like I said, sometimes less is more. I was happy. I was like, man. And I went pretty big on the Browns teaser because I didn't play a bunch of props and everything. I was just like, you know, just put the damn pick in. Just play the teaser to the over. Whatever happens, happens. Like, listen, Matthias, I didn't think Cleveland were going to kick the crap out of them like this. I tweeted right before the game. I said, you know, I think the Steelers win. But, and then I said, but, I just can't leave. I don't trust them. Like, I don't want to lay 5.5 points. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tease the Cleveland Browns up to 12 and a half and then to the over. So I was pretty comfortable with the win. I didn't want to start screwing it up and start chasing Matthias. But then when I saw Roethlisberger at 481, I knew there was like 6 minutes left and he was only like 410 or something. But I was like, man, he probably gets the ball back twice and they're going to be throwing every play. And he did. He picked up a couple of yards and then he threw the interception. But Cleveland kicked the field goal quickly, whatever. And then he got the ball back again. And then it goes over the numbers. So when it was all said and done, did you make money, Matthias, or lose money on the weekend? Is the account higher or lower than it was? That's all that matters. Doesn't have to be big money. Lower. Oh, that's not good then.
Lower by a tad. But I made up a lot of it.
Good, 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 good. And there's always opportunities to make it up more. We've got the national championship game. Me and Cameron will join us. Get Babano's thoughts on this game. Like I said, I'm looking at Ohio State and the over here. I want to take them on the money line, but plus 240 isn't enticing enough. Alabama, come on, it's Alabama. Bring it.
remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you. And nobody wants that. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's bring in Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano, to break it all down. We've got a massive week. A national championship game. National Hockey League drops the puck on Wednesday, and of course the National Football League playoffs roll on. Bob Bano, how you doing, Bob Bano?
Good to be with you, Gabe, as always.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us in the late night hours here. So, big week, Bob Bano. Listen, you're a big puck head. So we've got NFL playoffs, national championship game, and the NHL starts this week. Massive week.
Massive week. It really started Saturday with the wild card games in the NFL. Monday night, you've got the national championship game, and the NHL season starts on Wednesday. So a lot of things to keep me busy. Hopefully a lot of things to keep me paid, Morenci, but I guess we're going to find that out in the next few days.
Well, we're going to get some opportunities to beat the book. So let's start off with the national championship game. There's been so much talk about who's going to play, who's not going to play for Ohio State, or whether they would be able to play at all. But you know, college football teams in battle, they're pretty good at protecting their information, and it's difficult to really get a grasp on what the situation with Ohio State is. Yet they had a COVID situation last week against Clemson too, and we saw what happened. Point spread sits at 8.5, 75.5 right now.
Yeah, this game has been one where it's been, I think, a steady uptick a little bit here in Alabama. It's crept up a little bit. It was 7.5. I'm seeing 8.5 currently with this point spread favoring Alabama. And the point spread indicates that Alabama should have, you know, some personnel advantages in this game. Obviously, the point spread is based on full season results. We know what these two teams are all about. If you're going to win bets in a national championship type game, you've got to try to isolate intangibles, individual matchups within the game that you think stand out that could give one team the edge. I think what the difference is going to be is Alabama's offensive line going up against Ohio State's defensive front, a defensive line that for Ohio State played great against Clemson. I don't want to take that away from them, but they're going up against an offensive line here, Morenci, for Alabama that has kept really a pristine pocket, as clean a pocket as possible for Mac Jones. He has had all the time in the world to throw the football. Najee Harris has found running lanes to run the football. Devontae Smith's been able to get open. The key to Ohio State beating Clemson was the defensive front got home on Trevor Lawrence, and it happened over and over again. And it kind of hid their secondary, which I don't think is all that great. And the numbers back that up. Ohio State is 92nd, Gabe, in the country in opponent quarterback completion percentage, 119th in passing yards per game allowed. And those numbers for Ohio State secondary, they came against a pretty damn weak slate of quarterbacks and offenses in the Big Ten. What, Indiana? Northwestern? those were the two best teams they played in the Big Ten. Prior to the Clemson game, they really hadn't faced many great offenses and quarterbacks. Now, they played great against Clemson, but I think the Alabama offensive line's better. And the key to me is that Alabama is going to protect and block better than Clemson did against Ohio State. And if that happens, which I think it will, then the Ohio State secondary is going to face a whole different level of wide receiver speed that they don't see in the Big Ten, that even Clemson doesn't have this season, in my opinion, for as good as they were. They don't have T. Higgins on Clemson this year, Justin Ross, and some of these really good, explosive, speedy receivers they've had in years past. Hunter Renfro, you know, was another great receiver of the past at Clemson. Clemson didn't have that same speed at wide receiver. Alabama does, and if they get Jalen Waddle back for this game as well, it's going to add another potential problem for an Ohio State pass defense that I think if they don't get to Mac Jones, they are still a secondary that's not going to be able to match the speed of Alabama's receivers and not going to be able to cover them down the field. And it's also concerning how healthy is Justin Fields with the rib injury going into this game. A couple offensive linemen banged up going into this game. Right guard Wyatt Davis, left guard Harry Miller for Ohio State. That might be a little bit of an issue as well against this Bama defense. So when it's all said and done, Gabe, I got to make a case for Bama here. Okay, that they've only been a single-digit favorite once this year. That was against Georgia. They were laying 6. They won 41-24. I think all things considered, this is a bargain on the Alabama side. And I think the best bet for me with the Alabama side is the first half at -5, -5.5. They've covered 8 straight first half wagers, 10-2 to the first half this year, Alabama. They've been a fast starter consistently, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more of that in Miami on Monday night.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano with Sports Pump Radio. You can find him on Twitter, at Babano. And, you know, it's a good angle that you talk about Alabama in the first half. Now, I'm not saying I'm pulling the trigger here on it, but it has been ultra profitable. And it's been a play for a couple of years, actually. They've been kicking the crap out of people early in football games. FanDuel's got a 4.5 up, Babano. Good number if you like Alabama in the first half. It's a good point that you raised. The key is they need to get pressure on Mac Jones. You have to make his life difficult. He's such a great, you know, he's great at just getting the ball out to where it has to go to the open man. But you've got to disrupt that a little bit. Of course, they're without their, you know, their all world center in this football game, but they were against Notre Dame as well. What do you make of this total, Babano? Because it's one of these deals where it's hard to say, you know what, I'm going to bet the under here. I don't think they can get to 76 points. They clearly can, but championship games, guys, you know, it's rare the championship games are like total track meet shootouts, Babano. I'm looking at the history here of the national championship since the college football playoff, this format started, guys. So last year, they put up 67 points, 42-25, LSU Clemson. Year before that, Clemson won 44-16. Alabama beat Georgia 26-23. Clemson beat Alabama 35-31. Alabama beat Clemson 45-40. And Ohio State won the first ever college playoff championship game. They beat the Ducks 42-20. So, Babano, out of the 6 previous games, only Alabama and Clemson went over the number back in 2015-16.
No doubt, this is a lofty number. There's no question about that. Mid-70s is not something you see. And clearly, you just pointed out that we haven't seen it like this from a total standpoint in the national championship game since the college football playoff format began. I think if you like the under, anyone listening, first half under makes more sense. We saw it last year. It started slow with LSU and Clemson, and then the scoring picked up as the game went on. Personally, for me, because my handicap of the game, which I said a minute ago, is I don't trust Ohio State's defensive front to wreak havoc. And I know Dickerson has been outstanding, the center for Alabama, but they were really good blocking against Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. I think they'll still be able to pass protect very well for Jones. Because I don't think Ohio State's defensive front is going to be able to impact this game, I'm not interested in the under, to be honest with you, in this game. Now, I can't say I'm in love with the over in the mid-70s, but these are two offenses, and the dual threat element of Justin Fields does work better, I think, against Alabama's defense, which at times can give up plays to mobile quarterbacks. So I think it'll be close to the number, but because I think Ohio State could really give up some big plays through the air. I'm worried that they just haven't faced a passing attack, anything close to what they're going to see here. I'm too worried about that to bet it under, but the point is well taken about you're not getting a bargain with this total at 75.
You know, I love to bet overs, and I'm looking at this, and it's a good point for your race. I mean, that's why there's in-game betting, right? They have in-game numbers, and, you know, you can use them, right? I mean, I think there's, you know, we older guys, we're so stuck in or used to pregame, get your pick in. Yet, as you stated, Babano, you know, you wait a drive or two, next thing you know, the 75.5 is 67.5, right? Or 68.5, you know, and you get a better number. One thing I think, though, Babano, is that Ohio State are probably going to try to keep Alabama off the field, right? And, you know, they can do it with Trey Sermon as well. Trey Sermon has been playing great football, 636 yards over his last three football games, four touchdowns as well. I don't think Ohio State are, like, scared of Alabama or getting into a track meet with Alabama. I think Ohio State know they can score on anybody, but Alabama are just so damn good offensively. The best way to beat them, Babano, would be to keep them off the damn field, right? And if you're Ohio State, man, you got Sermon, you try to pound the rock, eat the clock, finish your drives, limit Alabama's possessions. That's my concern about the total.
Absolutely. And another concern about the over would be Alabama just sitting on the ball like they did last in the Rose Bowl against Notre Dame. They got up big. They didn't really have that step
they
on
can't do that against down. Ohio State, Babano. They do that. They did it against Notre Dame because they knew Notre Dame couldn't score. Remember they played the Washington Huskies a couple of years ago in the playoffs? Sort of same thing. They got up like 24-7, and they were like, you know what? It's 17-point lead, but they might as well be down 170 points. They can't score on us. So I've noticed that. They've taken the pedal off the metal a bit. I think Alabama will go for the jugular for 60 minutes.
I agree, and that's another thing that – pushing me up. To be honest with you, if I were to bet the total, it would be over for me still, even at 75. And you're right. I think Ohio State's going to prove to be a much greater offensive threat to Alabama than Notre Dame did. I think that's pretty clear. I think Justin Fields can do enough, and Ohio State will move the ball with Sermon. They'll be able to throw the ball enough. And on the flip side, like I say, I think Alabama can block this Ohio State defensive front. I've not seen Ohio State's defensive line play like that all year. There were times Northwestern in the Big Ten title game was just not – Peyton Ramsey had a clean pocket for a lot of that game, and the Ohio State defensive line was totally different. Now, they had guys out. I get that. But yeah. I think it's going to be much difficult or much more difficult to block them, and that bothers me. Those stats stand out. They had faced no quarterback, no offense prior to the Clemson game last in the semifinal, and yet their numbers are 92nd and 119th in terms of pass defense against a very weak schedule loaded with weaker quarterbacks, weaker passing games, and teams that just don't have anything close to Alabama throwing the ball. That worries me quite a bit for the Buckeyes.
We got to go to a break here, but you know, Drew Martin saw Northwestern in person against Auburn, and I think Northwestern might be better than people realize. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are 24 hours in every day,
1,440 minutes,
86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in. Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. I am Gable Brentz. We're throwing it down. SiriusXM Channel 204. Get on the grid. Ian Cameron kicking with us. We're talking about the national championship game. I want to get into some NFL football and some NHL hockey with Babano as well, obviously, but time's just flying by. So Babano's looking at Alabama, and it would be overpass. Babano brings up maybe Bama in the first half. I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm not doing this just to be contrarian, but, you know, when you get to this time of the year, Babano, there's only a couple of games left. You know, you've got to go with your gut. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you don't do research and you break down the numbers, but you've got to go with what your gut is. And you know, just your feeling, so you don't, there's no regrets. Oh, I like that team, but I didn't do it because of this. And I got, you know, I got, we spoke to people, the information that I heard, I changed my mind. And I don't change my mind a lot, but whatever I do, I seem to get burnt. And I do think Ohio State are going to hang around in this game. I think we're going to get a classic football game. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. I think it'll be one of these deals, guys. Like, there's going to be like 5 minutes left, and we don't know who's going to win the game. I'll cut Ohio State a little slack, Babano, in the fact that, as we were saying, we went to the break. Drew Martin, I know Auburn aren't the best team in the world, but they are an SEC team. That's Alabama's rival, and Northwestern dominated them in the trenches. So I was just throwing out there that Northwestern might be better than people realize. And it pains me as a Michigan fan to praise Ohio State like this, but I do think they have the talent to hang with Alabama. I think they have the talent to beat Alabama. And all the talk about Nick Saban, I mean, look, dude, Ryan Day is a 23-1 coach, Babano. Guy's only lost one game before.
Yeah, I think there's... Look, Northwestern had a nice win against Auburn, but it was a pedestrian Auburn squad compared to recent seasons. They had coaching change. Gus Malzahn got sent packing. Brian Harsin in. You've got coaches, you know, sending their resumes out elsewhere, thinking about their next job rather than preparing the team for a bowl game, you know, that they're really not all that enthusiastic probably about. So I put a little asterisk beside Northwestern's win there, but I hear you. They were a good team. They're so well coached. I just think when I go back and I look at this game, honestly, I look at this Ohio State secondary as a very vulnerable unit. I mean, their numbers, their pass defense numbers are just so hideous against such a weak slate of quarterbacks and offenses, and that's a worry for me going into this game here. I prefer Alabama first half. So if you want a classic, Gabe, you're saying it's going to be a classic down to the wire, I wouldn't mind that because most of my Bama bet is going to be the first half as opposed to the full game. I do like the first half Alabama side better than the full game because I get that sense they come out fast. The speed of their offense is too much early in the game for Ohio State to handle. But maybe as the game goes on, Ohio State gets a little bit more comfortable. Maybe their own offense and Fields get a little bit more comfortable what to expect from the Bama defense. Then that's when they make their hay more in the second half of the game. But it could still come back. Like, I like Alabama first half more than full game, and I could still envision a scenario, Gabe, where this game is a one-possession game in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, kicking it with us. All right, Babano, let's take a look at the Los Angeles Rams. An interesting Rams team, huh? They go into Seattle. They punch Seattle in the mouth. They dominate. They dominate defensively. Jared Goff wasn't the starter, but he is forced into action. And I don't know, it's one of these deals, man. The Rams, like, really do just own Seattle. We talk about it now. 6-2, the last eight times they played, 6-2 straight up, and against the spread, for that matter. But now they get the Green Bay Packers, and you know, looking at the weather, it's going to be—is it going to be cold? Well, we got into that last week about what the definition of cold is. But I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a lot colder in Green Bay than it is in Los Angeles, Babano. I guess that's the best way of putting it. It's going to be 25 degrees. It is sunny and 25 degrees. Los Angeles Rams now get the Green Bay Packers, Babano. Point spread is 7 points right now, 46.5.
And look, this is games a week away, so we're going to have to see closer to Saturday what the weather's going to be at Lambeau Field in Green Bay for this game. But the point of you bringing up the weather is significant here because we have a quarterback involved in this game in Jared Goff. It's maybe had some of his most ugly and worst performances in cold weather on the road in the past. I'm not saying that's going to duplicate itself here at Lambeau on Saturday, but it's food for thought. It's something to keep in the back of your mind when you're trying to formulate your opinion on this game, that he's had some really, really shoddy performances away from home in the colder weather climates. I still remember that Soldier Field game in Chicago on a Sunday night. It was a season or two ago, and it was just disastrous for Jared Goff in that game from start to finish. What's not disastrous for the Rams, Morency, is their defense. What can you say about them? It was an outstanding performance. I mean, they needed it. They needed every single bit of that defense to come through against Seattle with, you know, John Wolford having to start that game, getting knocked out, Jared Goff having to come in, play through a thumb injury. But I'll give him credit. He gutted through it, made some plays, and it helped that offense put some points up on the board to gain separation from the Seattle Seahawks. And they turned Russell Wilson over, and that ended up being the difference in the end. I don't know. It's a tricky spot for me. My initial thought is I think Green Bay is probably going to win this game. Their offense, They're up against a formidable defense, a defensive line that blew up the line of scrimmage against Seattle. Can they blow up the Green Bay line of scrimmage? That's going to be the question. Bakhtiari, you know, his status, I think, is going to loom large, whether he's in or out for this game. But that Green Bay offensive line is going to get tested. However, much like we talked about Bama, Ohio State, they protect Rodgers. If they can do that, keep Donald and company off him, then there's going to be plays to be made, I think, for this Packers passing attack, because nobody's been able to shut down Adams, Valdez, Scantling, Robert Tonyan, and the rest of them. I think Green Bay wins the game. My first thought is Packers on a teaser. Not sure I love laying a full touchdown, but I think this is a tricky spot for the Rams going to a cold weather spot.
It's a good point. Listen, one thing about that Bears game, I remember like it was yesterday, because that was the year that went to the Super Bowl, Babano, and it was fantasy football playoff time. And the Rams, like, got me there. I had, like, Gurley and Kupp and Goff. Like, I was Rams stacked on my fantasy football team that year. And, of course, they kind of rolled over that night, Babano, right? Like, your point is well taken as far as Goff and cold weather and the Rams and cold weather. But they rolled over that night. They didn't really, you know what I mean? Like, it was, like, 13-0 or something, 13-3 type of game. It was a weird anomaly for them that night. But I can't disagree, Babano, in the sense that if you're the Rams – look, you're the Rams. You've beaten the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. You're not scared of the Saints if you're the Rams. You match up well with them, and you know what? They're in a dome. Same thing with Tampa Bay. Rams beat Tampa Bay this year already. They're not intimidated by Tampa Bay. They beat them. They went into Tampa and beat them. The Green Bay Packers, out of like the Buccaneers, the Saints, and the Packers, the Packers is like absolutely positively the worst draw for the Rams to get. There's no debating that.
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made for that. And I'll say this about Aaron Rodgers. All I heard from Rodgers this season down the stretch, when they were still playing hard, they wanted the number one seed. He would tell anyone that would listen, the media, every day, we want the number one seed in the NFC. We want the playoffs in the NFC side of things to go through Lambeau Field, because we've started so many recent playoff years on the road. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, he said, we really want the number one seed. Well, Aaron Rodgers, now you got it. You know, you've got home field advantage. And, you know, all that bluster meant everything to the Packers trying to get the number one seed. Well, now here's your chance to make it worth your while and defend your home field. And I think they will in this game on Saturday.
We talked about, like, the Rams already playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, they played the New Orleans Saints a couple of years ago, speaking of the Super Bowl run. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, big-time quarterback, Hall of Fame matchup. New Orleans Saints laying 3.5 points, total 51.5. Obviously, weather is not a factor. And we've seen these teams play. We saw these teams play. Of course, it was the first game of the year, Babano, Tom Brady. So it comes full circle. Huh? Season opened up in New Orleans, and season might end in New Orleans for Tampa. Or does it? Does it continue? What's your take on this? Buccaneers getting 3.5 right now, 51.5.
Well, as Tampa Bay figured it out with their offensive line and blocking good pass rushes and defensive fronts, because what they were able to do against Washington and keep Chase Young's impact, and really anybody, Sweat, I think, maybe had one hurry on Brady, but he had a largely clean pocket most of the game Saturday night against Washington. Is that Washington just maybe not getting the job done with the pass rush, or was that Tampa Bay's offensive line finally gelling, giving Tom Brady the time he needed to throw the football? Because he certainly got it on Saturday. And if they can duplicate that, that's going to be the key against the New Orleans Saints. Because what is the singular reason that the New Orleans Saints won both regular season games against Tampa Bay this year? It was because their pass rush got home on Brady. And we remember that Sunday night game where the New Orleans Saints just absolutely embarrassed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was an embarrassment on both sides of the ball, particularly, again, Tom Brady on that, from his side of it, he was getting no time to throw the football. So you've got Tampa Bay 0-2 this year against New Orleans straight up and against the spread. However, that was a really good defensive football team they went up against. And for the first time, they validated the improvement in the offense late in the season. You don't validate anything playing Atlanta twice and Detroit like they did in the last three games of the season. But they validated their offense improving and really taking strides forward and looking like a Tom Brady offense of the vintage days in that win against Washington. And they had to score points because Taylor Heinicke kept coming back and moving the ball against the Bucs. So I'm leaning to taking the points, to be honest here, with Tampa Bay in this game. I haven't made up my mind yet. We'll see where this number goes. But I think Tampa Bay's better prepared. They're in a better place offensively. Remember, they faced Bruce Arians. They faced the Saints when they were in week one, when they're just learning Bruce Arians' offense, Brady's first game there, new faces, new scheme, new everything, new offensive line and blocking schemes, pass protection, the whole bit. And then you played them later in the season when it was a, I think it was a tricky scheduling spot. It was off a Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken, the New York game on a Monday night, the Giants. And then they had to play New Orleans on a Sunday night on a short week. And we know older quarterbacks on a short week, you worry about them a little bit. So I think situationally much better for Tampa this time around against New Orleans. I'm kind of leaning Bucs here a little bit.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, considering, as we stated, New Orleans did beat them 38-3. The 34-23 in week one, as you stated, I mean, that's a tough judgment right there. I mean, it was the first game of the season. It was first game for Tom Brady as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. The Bucs are on a little bit of a roll right now. They won their last four regular season games. Of course, the win against Washington. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just matchups, Babano, but, I mean, Washington gave these guys all that they can handle. Tom Brady, they're in tough. I think Tampa are in tough here. You know, it is. I get it that the point spread at 3.5 is attractive with the Buccaneers, but I'm just not so I'm not so sure stylistically this is bad for them, and they're kind of beat up. I mean, there's only, you know, they're going to go to Antonio Brown a million times. Mike Evans is a tough son of a gun, man. This guy plays through a lot of pain. Godwin kept dropping footballs. And fun game. Fun game. And, you know, the networks and the mainstream media love this, getting Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I guess Tom Brady can't be a jerk to Drew Brees after the game and ignore him, right? Like, he's such a tool bag, Tom Brady. He really is. Like, he's just, like, even if you're not, like, a Tom Brady hater or something, like, if you're not, like, what's up, oh, I don't know, Tom Brady, but he's just a hard guy to like. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about him. It's just
funny you mention that, Morency, because on Saturday night, Taylor Heineke, after the game, is patting him on the back like 20 times, like trying to get his attention. He finally turns around and looks at him, shakes his hand, says a word or two, and that was that. But like took him 20 times to pat him on the back, saying, hey, Tom, I'm trying to say good game to you and say a word with you here.
Brady was purposely blowing him off. He does that to, you know, younger quarterbacks. He, you know, he doesn't shake people's hands unless he wins. If he wins, then he'll shake your hand, but I was surprised why he was a douche to Heineke, because they actually won the game. But we've got to get out of here, man. Time has just flown by. Sports Rage Late Night. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it
right here. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
Like that anger management class. We wind down. 3 minute warning, quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio. Tonight was no exception. Great times. Although, you know, I tell you what, I actually do have, I'm getting a little bit fired up right now. Talking to Babano, Joe Lisi about the big national championship game on Monday night. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun game. And you know, hopefully you get a chance to tune in to Game Time Decisions on SiriusXM 204. And all our other radio affiliates and video platforms as well. Me and the Rager Redneck Cam Stewart will be on at 6 Eastern, breaking down this game. We'll be on for the first hour. We'll be on from 6 to 9, but we'll be breaking down the first hour of the game. And then Kevin Walsh and crew will take over for the game. I'll be back, of course, with the Monday Night Meltdown. I like the Monday Night show. I like Paul Bovey. I'm a fan of Paul Bovey. I like his takes and the early, you know, his opinion on the early numbers. George Kurt's going to step up and in. NHL hockey starts on Wednesday. Another sport to add to the rotation. That's going to be cool for the bettors amongst us. You know, listen, the NBA is a volatile league, man, on a daily basis. All right. The NHL, listen, you know, it's a unique year in the NHL this year. But at least the NHL, it's not quite as crazy on a daily basis as far as who's playing and who isn't playing. Number one, they don't do load management in hockey. All right. Load management in hockey, a player might play late, but load management in hockey is not something that you see unless it's like late in the season, and you know what I mean, your player will get rest. So just from a betting perspective, you know, hockey, you get an honest effort on a nightly basis. I'm curious to see, though, as far as like, I mean, overs, unders, how is it all going to play out? And basically, it's going to be the same teams playing each other all the time, too. So it's going to make for an interesting handicap. So as it is right now, and I'm not going to change my mind, I'm taking Ohio State plus the points. Give me the Buckeyes plus the 8.5. Give me the over. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. Sports Grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.